I want to share for the next few minutes, and I find it an incredible honour to be able to speak on Easter Sunday, this significant day. Joe, I want to tell you that this is so significant. You know when you're writing something, maybe you're writing a card or I don't know, you're writing something and you just want to just get the point home. What do? You like underline it. You underline it. You might put a box around it. You might put flowers around it. I don't know, but you kind of highlight it. You bold it. I want to tell you that today, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, needs highlighting. It needs underlining. It needs to be in lights. Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. Paul said this. He said, if the resurrection didn't happen, then our faith is useless. Our faith is futile. He said it in 1 Corinthians 15. And he's saying to these first Christians, he's saying, you need to know the power of the resurrection, because it's the resurrection that makes our faith real and alive. It gives it meaning and purpose. Because he lives, we shall also... Come on, thank you. Resurrection Sunday. This is the most significant moment. Jesus said to his disciples, because I live, you shall also live. You know, I've been reading a lot the last few days, each gospel's account of the resurrection. And of course, if you know anything about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will understand that obviously they write slightly differently. Sorry, I'm just aware that I walk a lot when I talk and the camera people are going, stop it, Sarah. Can you just stand still? I will do my best. Jim's giving me a thumbs up. I will do my best. I can't promise anything. It's Easter Sunday, all right? All four Gospels. And obviously they're writing from their slightly different angle, as we would do if we now all left here and we were to write how we saw this morning. We're all in the same space. We're all experiencing the same thing, but we see it from slightly different angles. And so we write out of that. And so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's exactly what they did in their Gospels. But what I love is that when it comes to them describing the resurrection, each one of them, they all start with this "but." Early Sunday morning. It's this moment, if you heard the video clip that I put this morning on Facebook, it's this moment where everything shifts. It's this moment, you know, when you're watching a film and suddenly the music changes and it just begins to get a little bit more beaty. Suddenly the scenes change around and you realize a shift is about to happen. And I think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are doing that as they're writing, but early Sunday morning. I know you've got your masks on, but would you just say those words with me? But early Sunday morning. There's a sense of anticipation rising. This is the shift moment in the story. But here's what I want you to understand is that the women that went that early Sunday morning, and all four gospel writers talk about the women that went. They went with their spices because they were going to anoint Jesus' body. That's what they were doing. It's like they were embalming his body. They were going with the expectation of, we are going to visit the dead. We are going to a place of death, a place of burial. Oh, but little did they know as they got there that actually this shift was taking place. That actually what they expected to happen, Jesus had done the unexpected. What they thought was impossible had become possible. They weren't going to visit the dead. They were going to visit the living. Thank you. Resurrection Sunday morning, but early in the morning. The women go with one expectation, but God is just in the habit. He is so in the habit, and he's still doing it today. I want you to know this. He's still in the habit of showing up in our lives and totally rearranging, transforming, changing it, turning it upside down. That where we come with a certain expectation, Jesus says, oh no, I've got something completely different for you. It's been a joy for me this week just to record different messages each day as we've walked through Holy Week. And they're on our Facebook page if you want to go look at them. But what has really fascinated me, as I've re-looked at the stories of Holy Week, as I've looked again through the eyes of the friends of Jesus and how they journeyed with him, is the way that Jesus always, he always goes against the normal flow of things. He's radical. He doesn't live up to their expectations. He doesn't do the things that they think he should do. And as I have sat with those thoughts this week, it's just reminded me again that so often we come to God and we design God in our eyes. That actually we still do it now. Those of us that have been in church a long time, and you're looking at one right here now, We're in danger of doing it more. We come with our expectations. This is the God that I see. And I just wonder if this Easter 2021, the Holy Spirit just wants to come in and smash some of our thinking, rearrange the thoughts in our minds, turn our worlds upside down and go, I want to show you a different side to me. I want to show you a different glimpse of me. You've come with your expectations, but I want to show you that I'm the God of the impossible, that what you think, actually, I am way higher. I'm so grateful that I don't worship a God that I see. Do you understand what I mean by that? I'm so grateful that God is not reduced to my thinking, my understanding, my human brain, my experience. I'm so grateful that when I come to God, I actually have no words. Yes, I said that, Sarah Weber, who speaks a lot. Even I find myself going, I don't get it, God. I sit in the mystery, but I know the more I move into the mystery, the more I love you. The more I'm overwhelmed with who you are, with your brilliance, because it's way more than anything that I could comprehend. Resurrection Sunday tells us that Jesus is above and he is greater and higher than any expectations, than any experience that we are walking through. Those ladies went early Sunday morning expecting one thing, and they left totally transformed and changed, because that's what Jesus does in our lives. If you've got a Bible, I'd love you to turn to Mark chapter 16, because although all four gospel writers beautifully describe that early Sunday morning, I want to look at Mark's account of it. Because as I was reading all four accounts, this one particular verse just jumped out at me this week. And I just felt the Holy Spirit just speak to me on it. And so for the next few moments, and I really won't be very long this morning, I just want to share from Mark's account. So read with me if you're at home. You might have a Bible. If not, the words will be on the screen. But this is what Mark says. And I'm reading from verse 2 to verse 7. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting at the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Now look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died. As I read this in the week, it was verse 7 that jumped out to me. And I'm really believing that as I share these words, this is just going to speak to somebody this morning. Because it says this, the angel said, now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. Here is the message that I'm carrying this morning. It's that the resurrection, the power of Easter Sunday resurrection morning, is for everyone. It's for the whole world. But I want to tell you this, the angel said, but will you make sure that Peter knows? And this morning, I just sense that there's some of you here in this room watching at home, and you need to know that heaven this morning says this message is for the whole world, but you need to know it's for you. See, the angel said, Peter needs to hear this. And maybe just this morning, maybe you find yourself like Peter. Maybe this morning, like Peter, you feel like you have completely messed up. Maybe this morning, like Peter, you're living in the mistakes of your past. You're living in the shame and the fear of it. Maybe this morning, like Peter, you feel like you have blown it. Maybe this morning, like Peter, actually, you could even be here in the room and there's a number of people, but inside, you're hiding in a corner. Inside, you feel like, I don't deserve to be here. Do you know that's what shame does to us? But God wants to say to you today, tell the world, this is a message for the world, but this is a bespoke message for you. See, heaven knew that Peter needed reassurance that day. Heaven knew how Peter was feeling. And so the angel says, make sure Peter knows. Make sure Peter is reassured today that I see him, I love him, I know him, and that he is not disqualified in any way. He is still mine, and I still have a purpose and a plan for him. Somebody in the room needs to say yes, come on. This morning, my message is this. Easter resurrection, oh, it's for everyone. It's for the world. But it is so personal to you. It's the beauty of the gospel. I think it's actually the mystery. For God so loved the world. And yet here's the truth. I think sometimes you and I can feel lost in that. Let me bring it right down to our level. It's a little bit like a text to all, a message to all, send to all. I found myself this week doing one of those messages. And the truth is, I don't like sending those messages. They're so impersonal. It's much nicer, isn't it, to receive a message and you know it's bespoke, it's written to you, it's personal. It's right for you. And I want to tell you this morning that the gospel is bespoke for you. The gospel is God's personal text to you. He knows your name. He sees everything about you. And this morning, he would say, tell the world, I'm alive. But make sure you tell, and you can put your name in there. Make sure you tell them, because I see them. I love the fact that even on the cross, Jesus on the cross, dying for the whole world, and in his last moments, I don't know exactly how many minutes or hours it was before he dies, but in his last agonizing moments, he sees his mum and he sees his close friend and he looks at them both and he says, take care of one another. John, you need Mary. Mary, you need John. In his last moments, when he's dying for the world, he sees his mum. And he sees his friend. And that's my God. My God says, I see you. I know exactly what you need. I know exactly who you are. And I am for you. And I love you. Heidi, if you could come up now, that would be fantastic. Today on this Easter Sunday, this message is deeply personal. Do you know, I don't know if you've ever been on Google Earth. I think I've been on it once, maybe twice. I'm really not very technical. But you may have heard some people joke about this, but this really is the truth, and it was my experience. So somebody in the room, give me a bit of a nod if this happened to you. You go on Google Earth, you could go anywhere in the whole world, and what do you look for? Thank you, Josh. You look for your house. You look, it's hilarious, isn't it? Google Earth, go anywhere. Oh, but I'll just see if I'm on it. So that's exactly what I did quite a few years ago. Well, I say I did it. I mean, Gareth had to do it for me because I don't even know hardly how to use a computer. So I go on Google Earth, and it's really exciting, isn't it? Come on, is anyone in the room? Put your hand up if you've done this. Do you know? Yeah, okay, I knew I wasn't the only one, all right? So you search, and so we got to the house, and oh, there's our car, and it's so exciting, and there's our house, and it's all like, ooh, and it's like, it's bonkers, isn't it? And then I don't know if it's still up there. I might have to go home and check now. Here's a little throw out. I can remember thinking, well, I'm not on my house. I wonder if I'm at church. Google Harvey Street. That's how long ago it was. Harvey Street, Google it. Guess what? There's a very pregnant Sarah standing on the steps. Google Earth. Have you seen it? Like, I don't know if it's still there. It may have disappeared. If it's disappeared, I'm heartbroken. Like, come on. But there I am, standing on the steps. Very pregnant. It must have, I don't know. I guess it was with Amy. Yeah, it would have been with Amy. And I'm there. I was so excited. It's me. Like, you know, look, world, it's me. Yeah, sad life, sad life. What's all that about? You can go anywhere in the world, but the first place you want to go is just to check, does my house exist? Is there a picture of me? What's all that about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's because deep within us, we want to be seen and known and loved. And that's okay. And this morning, my message to you is God sees you. God's eyes are looking over the whole earth. His eyes are looking over the whole earth that he loves, that he created. And yet this morning, if you can sort of bear with my imagination, if God's on Google Earth right now, okay, I might be stretching theology a little bit, but just go with me. If God's on Google Earth, are you with me? Do you know where he's zooming in right now? I'm telling you, he's zooming in on you. I believe this with all my heart. He's zooming in. He's zooming in. Where is she? Where is he? I want to zoom in on them. Why? Because he says, I see you. I see you and I know you. And so resurrection morning, go tell them. Go tell my disciples. Make sure you tell and proclaim this news to the whole world. But will you please make sure you tell Peter? Because this morning, Peter needs to know. This morning, Peter feels like he is out of the race. He has stuffed up. He's scared to look me in the eye. Isn't that what shame does to us? We struggle to look somebody in the eye. But this morning, God says to you, look me in the eye because I'm looking you in the eye because I see you and I love you and I know you and you are still very much mine. Would you just close your eyes for a moment in this room? At home, wherever you are. Do you know in the Old Testament we read a story where literally God reveals himself as the God who sees. My message is very simple this morning. It's not a long one. It's a short one. And if COVID allowed me, I'd come to each one of you now and take your hand, look you in the eye and say, God sees. God sees. He knows. He knows. And he's saying, I'm alive. I'm alive, Polly. I'm alive, Miriam. He's saying, I'm alive, Scylla. I'm alive, Grant. He's looking you all in the eye and he's going, I'm alive. I'm alive, Haley. I'm alive and I'm alive for you. I'm alive for you, Ryan. He's saying, I haven't just risen for the whole world. I've risen for you. His resurrection life is at work within you. So what's your response? Because as I wrap this up, I want to tell you this. Peter's response was this. Oh, he ran. He didn't hold back. He ran. You a runner? He ran. Oh, I love that about Peter. He didn't. I mean, I wasn't there. So again, it's my imagination. But the gospel, each gospel writer gives enough information to let us know that Peter got there first. I mean, John's account is hilarious. If you want to have a good giggle, read John's account. I mean, it's hilarious. It's really hilarious because John just describes this race that he and Peter have. Talk about boys. I mean, it's just hilarious. I started first, but then I outran him. But Peter got there first, but then I went in and had a look. I mean, honestly, talk about boys arguing about who won the race. It's all there. It's hilarious. I read it yesterday and properly laughed out loud. I'm just like, it's hilarious. John wants us all to know I'm the one he loved. I'm the one. But Peter did get there first. All right, I'll give him the tick for that. He got there first. Listen, what does it describe for us, humanity? It just shows it, raw as it is. But what I love about Peter is that when he gets the message, you're seen and you're known, he runs. He runs and he gets to the tomb and he looks in. And Jesus meets him. Wow. Jesus wants to meet you. But my question to you this morning is, are you going to run? Are you going to run? Are you going to say, I'm throwing off my shame. I'm throwing off the mistakes. I'm throwing off the lies that have bound me for too long. And I'm going to run. I'm going to run. I'm going to run to Jesus. I'm going to run to that tomb. And I'm going to discover resurrection life. Can I just tell you, like, it really is about him. It's not about you. Today we're celebrating him, his resurrection life within us. So almost, it doesn't matter what you've done. It Doesn't matter who you are. What matters is who he is and your response to him and you saying, I receive your resurrection life. Why don't you just say that with me this morning? I receive your resurrection life at work within me, because it's not about me, it's about you. And you are greater and higher and more powerful than anything I could ever do or be. Heidi, just lead us in this song, will you? Let's worship together. Song just talks about coming to Jesus as we are, leaving behind our regrets, our mistakes, our past, and acknowledging him this morning.